go ahead and read our passage before we begin. Verses 12 to 29.
Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered them, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would have known my Father. Also, these words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world that I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. So as we begin to examine our text this morning, I want to call our attention to the fact that, you know, we were created, what? In God's image, right? Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. You know, we're the only part of God's creation that's different. That we have a soul, right? God breathed life. It says in the Hebrew, it literally breathed his breath into our nostrils. He gave us a soul. We're different than the animals. So we're created in his image, and in a lot of ways we're like God. I think one of the best examples of how we're like God is the ability to create, right? God created everything, and then he gave us as humans the ability to create. It's amazing some of the things that you see that we have as men and women have created. But then there's also some very stark contrasts, aren't there? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And really, as we begin to look at what the passage says about God and what it says about Jesus, it contradicts who we are as people. And we're going to begin in verse 12. What's the first thing we see about Jesus? He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So right off the bat, we see Jesus is declaring he's the light of the world. What's he mean? I am the light of the world. Thought the sun gave us light. Well, I'm pretty confident you're familiar with the Jewish concept of light and darkness. Light represents what is holy, what is good, right? Darkness is representation of evil, of sinful behavior. If you remember back from whenever we went through the book of 1 John, verses 5 through 10, listen to how he talks about light and darkness. This is the message we've heard from him proclaimed to you, that God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, so we look at this contrast, light and darkness, good and evil. You know, it's ironic that this is our text this week as we look at the light of the world, and I just got back from Las Vegas. As Dennis said to me this morning, Sin City, and it earns its name very well. And to see, I mean, that was one of the things that weighed on me all week, was that I had a heavy heart looking at the lostness of people. Just how many people were, you know, they're stumbling as an ox stumbles to slaughter. Gambling and drinking and drugs. You could just smell the weed everywhere you went. And just the sexual perversion. It's disturbing. It weighed heavy on my heart to see so many people just walking in darkness. No idea. No clue what light is. You know, watching people sit and gamble, hoping to hit it big, thinking that's where happiness is. You know, somebody asked me, I was talking to a banker on the phone who I just got introduced to, and she's like, "You gambling?" I said, "All you have to do is look around. It's pretty evident who wins. You look at the casinos, they're massive, expensive, extravagant. It's pretty clear who wins." But how many people just in life are stumbling through darkness? So that's the first thing about men and women. We're lost. Without Christ, it's just darkness. What hope is there without Jesus? I don't know how people live without Christ. What hope is there? Where's your hope at without Christ? Because Jesus said he is the light of the world, right? That kind of ties into the other thing about us. So yes, we walk in darkness. We are in darkness. We're born into darkness. And without Christ, we're striving after only things of darkness, whether it's money, power, pleasure, whatever we're striving after. Without Christ, it's all darkness, right? And in the end, it leads to judgment. But then it also looks at the other piece. Who are we in Christ, right? What's it say about when we come to faith in Christ? Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown under and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world." So if we have Christ, we're called to be the light. We're called to bring light into darkness. "A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." So we're called as followers of Christ. Yes, we once walked in darkness. We once were in the same sins as the people around us, right? That's where there's no pride anymore. How can we judge? How could the Pharisees sit and judge the tax collectors and the sinners? Because they were in the same boat, but they couldn't see their own hearts, right? That's where we talked about deceit. But when you truly get the gospel, you truly understand that I stumbled in darkness. I took pleasure in the things that I am now ashamed of, Scripture tells us. So Jesus is the light of the world, and if we follow him, we have the light of life, right? Doesn't it change our life? Did Christ change your life? Did he change the trajectory? Did you move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light? That's the other thing that weighs on my heart. There's lots of people who claim to know Christ who still walk in darkness. And you can't see any difference. They still do things that they're ashamed of, but still stuck in sin and disobedience. That's the sad reality of, you know, easy believism, or I pray to prayer and what I do doesn't matter. No, we want to respond in obedience and love to Christ. Not that we earn salvation, but that we respond because we have been saved, right? We want to walk with Christ. We want to be obedient to Christ because he has saved us. He has changed us. It's a loving response. But as Jesus makes this claim, what's the Pharisees' response? Let's look at verse 13. So the Pharisees said to him, "You're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." What are they referring to? They're referring to their own law. They're referring to Deuteronomy 19:15 that says, "A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two or three witnesses shall a charge be established." Why? Why is that the Old Testament law? Why wouldn't you need more than one witness? People lie, right? People bear false witness. Have you had anybody say anything false about you? I have. So why is it different with Jesus? Because verse 14, Jesus said, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from, where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going." What's Jesus saying? He is truth, right? He is light. He's pure. There's no darkness. This is Jesus once again stating he's God. It just baffles my mind when people try to argue that Jesus never said he was God. Right here he's saying, even if I bear witness about myself, how could he be above the law of Moses? Because the law of Moses was protecting against people who lie. Two or three people lie together, sure, it still happens, but it's more difficult. But Jesus is saying, I don't even need anyone else to testify because I'm truth. I'm 100% truth, 100% light. Remember 1 John, there's no darkness in God, no darkness in Jesus. There is no evil. But Jesus, his testimony is valid. Why? Numbers 23:19. God's not a man that he should lie. This is where that difference comes in. We have a lot of similarities and a lot of things in common with God, but this is where we're different. God does not lie. Have you ever lied? I know I have. I've been dishonest. I've been deceitful. But God never has. God is not like man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will not fulfill it? Wow, what a difference. You ever given your word and not fulfilled it? God never has. That's how I can stand up here confidently and preach the truth. That's why we can go to the communion table and know that we're saved, that he's coming back, that he's going to fulfill his promise, because he's never lied. He's never changed his word. He's never gone back on his word, unlike us. But then Jesus continues on, even though he does not need a witness. Let's look at verses 17 and 18. He says, "In your law is written the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." What's Jesus saying? He goes, even if you want to hold me to the law, I still fulfill it. Because I testify to myself, and God the Father testifies to himself, right? But now they're confused by that. They're like, who is your Father? Where is your Father? They're not understanding what he's saying. What he's saying is, all of Scripture testifies to who Jesus is. The Father has testified for thousands of years. Even beyond that, when we look and see, remember Jesus' baptism, the Father testified, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." So the evidence is there. Who Jesus is evident. He's the light of the world. But our sin blinds us, doesn't it? It blinded the Pharisees. Look at how Jesus describes the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Those you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. What a picture, right? What's Jesus saying here? You guys are so technical on these minor points of the law. You're straining the gnat out. You're making sure you're getting to the smallest herb in your garden. You don't sin against me, but you've forgotten love and mercy and justice. What's more important? One commentary pointed out that the gnat and the camel were both unclean animals. So you're straining out a gnat to make sure you don't get this little speck of uncleanliness, and you're swallowing massive amounts of uncleanliness. So what's that tell us about us? We can be deceived. We've got to be in prayer. We've got to seek the Lord, because we can deceive ourselves. Listen to what Jesus says about us in verses 15 and 16. In our own flesh, he says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment's true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. The Pharisees are judging in the flesh. They're blind. They can't even see. And all they can think of is the physical, right? That's what we're in our own sin nature. That's all we're default to, is the physical. They couldn't even see who Jesus really was. And something very important here that Jesus says is, I judge no one. Isn't that interesting? Jesus says he judges no one. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So when Jesus came the first time, he didn't come to judge people. We've got to watch our own hearts. If we're walking around judging people, looking down on people, that's what the Pharisees were doing. He called them blind guides. We have to watch our own hearts. Are we condemning people who aren't like us? Are we condemning the lost? It wouldn't have been very difficult to walk around and condemn 99% of the people in Las Vegas. Or do we have heavy hearts that want to be light in the darkness? Not to bring judgment, to bring light. Because Jesus is going to judge, right? He didn't come the first time to judge. He came to save. But the clock's ticking where he is going to judge. That's the other lie, the other popular, that God is love. The New Testament Jesus just loves everybody. And in the end, love's going to win. And it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere. Is that true? Absolutely not. We have an enemy who's a liar. See, that's the thing. If you look at so many other world religions, some of them are this close to Christianity, some of them are drastically different. But Satan doesn't care if you're this close or this close. He just doesn't. He wants you to be damned to hell. Whether you're Jehovah's Witness and you have false beliefs about Jesus, or you're Muslim and have false beliefs about Jesus, or you're Buddha and don't even have a place for Jesus. As long as you don't believe the truth of who Jesus is right here in the text. Without Jesus, there is no other light. Without Jesus, the Son of God, everything else is darkness. Romans 2:5, but because of your hard and impotent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Judgment's coming. Wrath is coming. If you're in the darkness, you will be punished. It's not popular anymore to talk like that. It's considered hate speech and unloving. No, it's the truth. If I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. The next truth we want to look at is in verse 19. They said to Jesus, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered him, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. You know, Jesus is clear. You can't get to the Father except through Jesus. The Father Jesus is talking about is the very God the Pharisees are claiming to serve. And he says, if you knew me, you would know the Father. Because they're saying, who is your Father? They're totally blind to the fact that Jesus is truth, that Jesus is the representation of the Father. So many times people miscategorize the God of the Old Testament. They say he was angry and wrathful. No, he was patient. People say, how can you worship a God who had them slaughter everybody in the Promised Land, all the Canaanites? God gave them 400 years to repent. How patient? Who else do you know that's that patient? 400 years to repent of their wickedness. It's just a picture of the reality of the gospel, isn't it? God's been patient with us. And why is he patient? Why was he patient for 400 years? Scripture tells us he's patient because he wants us to repent. He's patient with us because he wants us to repent. If we're living in sin this morning, why has he been patient this long? I lived in certain sins for decades. Why? Why was he patient? Why hasn't he punished? Why hasn't he cast me into hell already? Because his patience is meant to lead to repentance. That's the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father has always been a desire for repentance. He's always wanted his people to trust in him for salvation. The law was meant to show us we're sinners. The law was meant to show us we're never going to live up to the holy standards, and we needed a Savior. David cried out for the Lord to cleanse him, to know his wicked heart. Jeremiah said his heart was deceitful, wicked, desperately sick. Who can know it? That's always been the purpose of the gospel. Yes, to realize who we are without Christ. We're liars. We're unfaithful to God. But God's always had a heart, always offered salvation. And now that we see Jesus here in our text, he's saying, if you know me, you know my Father. If you know my Father, you know me. Because they're one and the same. But we saw that the Pharisees had hard hearts. They were deceived. And we can have hard hearts. We can judge people. We can be deceived about our own sin. We can justify our own sin. We can be ignorant. We can resist the Holy Spirit just like the Pharisees. It's one of the scariest verses in all of the text to me. Whenever Stephen said, you resist the Holy Spirit like your fathers. We don't want to do that. We want to live in the light where Jesus is in the light. We want to confess our sins and be cleansed. What's our final truth about Jesus, about God, about the Holy Spirit in our text? Look with me at verse 20. Jesus says, these words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. We know the Pharisees hated him. We know they even tried to arrest him before this. Remember, a couple weeks ago we looked at the text where they're like, said to the temple guards, where is he? And they're like, well, no one speaks like him. And they're like, you become disciples? So they've already attempted multiple times to arrest him, but why? Why didn't they? Because God's sovereign. Jesus says, his hour didn't yet come. His hour hadn't come yet. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That gives me strength that my life isn't just dependent on what decision I make here or there. Or I used to obsess over trying to make the right decision. What if I make the wrong decision? What if I end up, dead because I made a stupid decision or I didn't pick right? And no, God's sovereign. Now, we don't put the Lord to the test. We pray for wisdom. But at the end of the day, we can rest knowing that he's sovereign. They didn't arrest Jesus yet because he was sovereign. We're not sovereign. We can't control our own destiny. We think we can. We want to control our own destiny, but the truth is, we can't. God is sovereign. God is just. He's merciful. He's kind.
So what's our hope this morning? What hope do we have from this passage this morning? Well, let's just go right back to the promise we started with in verse 12. Jesus said that he's the light of the world, but what promise did he give? He says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. If we follow him, we'll have the light of life. If we obey him, if we keep his commandments, what a promise. He says in verses 23 to 24, Jesus said to them, you are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He told them straight out. So if we know him, if we walk in the light, see, that's how we know him too. We don't want to be ignorant. Yes, we can't earn our salvation, and our righteous acts as far as trying to earn salvation are dirty rags. But how do we know that we genuinely believe in Jesus? We hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They follow me. Are you walking in darkness this morning? Our hope is he's offering right now is we can leave with the light of life. He can give us life. Not just life, but life more abundantly. We don't need to stumble in the darkness. But I also want to leave you with the challenge to be light. Be the city on the hill. There's lots of people out there in darkness. Are we going to be the light? Don't leave here without the light of life. He doesn't want us to be bound by darkness either. He wants to set us free. He wants to set free this morning. Cry out to him. He wants to set you free. He wants you to walk in the light, not in darkness. He doesn't want you to continue in shameful behavior. He doesn't want to continue to do things in the darkness. He wants to bring us into the light. Not to hurt us, not to shame us, but to set us free. Freedom's in the light. Because that's where Jesus is in the light. No darkness, only light. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus. We're thankful that he is the light of the world, and you're offering us this gift of salvation. We can step out of darkness. We can leave behind the deeds that we're now ashamed of. And we can be set free in your light. Is it painful? Absolutely. But you didn't do it to hurt us. You did it to set us free. And once we taste the freedom in Jesus Christ, we'll never want to go back. I just pray for everyone here this morning that if there is darkness, that you would reveal it. That you'd set them free. I pray no one would leave here in the darkness. But they would know the light of life, Jesus Christ. Receive his free gift. And avoid the wrath to come because Jesus took it for us on the cross. There's only two options. Either Jesus will take the wrath for you or you'll pay for it yourself. Thank you for the light of the world. You set us free from the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If the ushers want to come forward, we have communion this morning before our closing hymn.